Rick Emerson radio program. We'll talk to a CNN radio correspondent, Jim Rupin, just a skosh, as the kids say. 503-733-2970. Rick, I get a lot of email about grammar now. God love you. All right, well, we'll get some of these calls about Dante's and the storm show on Friday in just a second. In the meantime, in between time, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson radio program, live from Los Angeles. Bow before him, son of Jor-El. He's Jim Roop. Hello, sir.
Howdy, sir.
I'm sorry for keeping you on hold there, brother.
That's okay.
Hey, so Britney Spears has gone crazy.
Well, yeah.
Is it? So we, man, I got to tell you, I was gone Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. I left San Diego. I didn't get a chance to come up to L.A., but I left San Diego this morning at like 6:30 a.m. I walked off a plane. I drove right here. I hadn't turned on a new TV, hadn't read a newspaper, anything all weekend. I get here, and the whole world has come off its freaking axis. So Britney shaves her head. Then apparently is shaving her legs at some hotel swimming pool where they won't give her a room. She has part of her credit card number written down on a scrap of paper and is amazed that she can't buy anything with it. I don't know. I'm just going to, like, hand it over to you and just say, what the hell? What gives?
Well, I talked with several psychologists and interventionists over the past couple of days. And this behavior of Britney Spears has been going on now for a while. It's a spiral downward. And it really could lead to, I mean, something horrific, you know, a.k.a. Anna Nicole.
Right.
Or a la Anna Nicole, I should say. And a lot of people are worried about that. Now, the fact that she checked herself in and then right back out within 24 hours of rehab, twice within a week's time, says two things. First of all, she realizes, or at least the people around her realize she needs help. She realizes it enough to check herself in, but then she doesn't want to deal with it, so she checks herself back out again.
Which is like the Lindsay Lohan thing, too, of checking yourself in and then you leave to go to McDonald's every time you want to.
Yeah. You know, and we do live in America, so they have the right, I mean,
sure.
Unless you're a psychotic patient, then they got to keep you for 48 hours.
Do whatever you want, yeah.
Yeah. But this is it's a real sad thing. It really is, because she needs help. A lot of people thought that the shaving of the head and the tattoos and all the weird crap that was going on over the weekend was all this screaming for help and using the media as a parent so that it comes back and hits her in the face so she realizes she needs some help and she goes in and gets it herself. But it's also obvious that it was more of an intervention than anything else, that somebody took her to this place in Malibu because she left it within 24 hours.
Right. Well, because she was at this place in the Caribbean for a day, right?
It wasn't even a whole day, yeah, this in Antigua.
Yeah,
you know, I guess that's
Eric Clapton's place.
Yeah.
And so is this her manager, do you think, sticking her in there?
I think it's her parents. You know, she still loves her mom. She respects her mom quite a bit. So I think her mom is probably saying, you got to get in there, but they're not setting up, the people who love her aren't setting up the boundaries that are needed to keep her there.
Right.
Oh, and you know, she was 8 years old, she was on Star Search or whatever. Yeah. I mean, she thinks she has been in such control of her life up until this point that she doesn't want to surrender control, which is what you have to do in rehab.
Right.
You have to surrender for treatment. She doesn't want to do that because she doesn't want to lose control of her life. But I think she doesn't realize, too, that you never succeed by yourself. There's all kinds of people that help you through it, support you, what have you. But she thinks she has been in complete control. At least that's what the experts are telling me.
Well, and of course, you know, like everybody said, I mean, it's a cliche, but it bears repeating, that you're never going to get, you're never really going to get better, whether it comes to drugs or drinking or whatever, because somebody else is trying to make you do it.
Right.
I mean, that's the thing. You just got to decide. I mean, it sounds corny, but you got to decide within yourself that, like, hey, I'm effed up and I got to change this. You're never going to do that because somebody else is telling you to do it.
And because she's so young, this could take a year.
Yeah.
And it's tough. I mean, it's not easy. There's a whole bunch of crap that comes up in treatment, and plus all the other stuff you have to go through. And she just probably doesn't want to deal with it. But, man, if she could get to the other side, she could help millions, like Betty Ford did when she opened her freaking center. You know, she winds up helping a bunch of people with addiction. Whatever this addiction may be, it definitely is some sort of addiction that has Britney Spears spiraling downward.
Now, have they said that it is even a drug?
No, they haven't said what it is, but it is something, and it doesn't really have to be anything specific, because there's, from what it's explained to me anyway, there's people who have this feeling inside that they can't fill. They don't know what it is. They can't identify it. They just know something doesn't feel right.
Right.
To do whatever they can on the outside to try and change what's going on the inside. Whether it's shopping or shaving your head or taking drugs or drinking beer or whatever it may be, you're trying to change it. And you can't change it. And so you just lose control. And that's probably what's going on with her. Whatever her addiction may be, we don't know. No one said anything about what it is. But she's got something going on and she needs help.
So where is she right now? Anybody know?
I don't know. I mean, she called for a car early this morning from this Malibu place. Now, I've been calling this place all day long to confirm this, and I cannot get it confirmed.
Right.
Any source. So this is just, I'm just repeating what reports have been telling me and then the experts I've talked to about what it means that she left.
If she's like shaving her head and all of this, whatever, at a certain point, can't you make the case that, like, well, there have been so many symptoms that she's nuts, that we think she might be a danger and you got to lock her up?
Yeah, but you can, no. Well, yeah, but you can also make the case that she's had so many hair extensions over the years that her hair is all screwed up. She wants to start from scratch.
Yeah, I guess it's true.
So. Yeah, I mean, only she knows. Only she can tell you that she needs help. Her parents or for her family, whatever, can say, wow, this is behavior we've not seen before. But we have seen it before. She's been nutty since Federline.
It's, it's true. And it reminds me a lot of Courtney Love, actually. I mean, she's following the Courtney Love trajectory, or the Margot Kidder trajectory, anyway. So.
Yeah, it could end up bad, man, unless she gets help. She's only 25. She's got the world by the ass on a downhill drag, and she's screwing herself up.
Totally. And it's hard to believe that she's that young. I mean, it's like Lindsay Lohan. The same thing you look at her, she looks like she's about 50.
Yeah.
So, God. All right. Well, I imagine we'll be checking the new chicken with you.
No, she would just start every day the relax way. She'd be okay.
Well,
I had to say that.
Thank you, sir.
Right.
Anybody who can chime in our obscure Woody Allen humor, by God, that's a friend of ours. Excellent. Thank you, my friend.
All right.
Jim Roop in Los Angeles. There you go. Boy, good little rant there from Jim Roop.
I just did a picture of Britney Spears wearing a Kevin Federline fedora and her blonde wig in a car in West Hollywood.
Really?
Yes.
You know, this country is so sick and effed up and great and terrible and wonderful that eventually all celebrities, we're just going to have channels devoted to tracking them 24 hours a day.
She's still alive.
There's just going to be like a Britney TV, and it's just going to be like the Running Man, just cameras tracking them all the time. All right. We'll do news here at the bottom of the hour. Okay, so have we screened these calls?
I might want to make a...
Scotty?
I'd like to make a quick comment here. I think Madonna was the queen of getting publicity, and I think...
You think Kevin Federline loved Britney?
Well, he's doing that because of Howard Stern, right?
Yeah.
Howard K. Stern.
Yeah.
Well, it's the same type of love.
No, this isn't the same thought, even. Here's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking if Britney really hasn't lost it, this is the best publicity she can ever get. Look at all the attention she's getting. Just massive attention.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to shave my hair today. Oh, they'll talk about me for another week. Oh,
yeah,
this is awesome.
She's clearly cracked, though. I think anybody can see that. I think there's attention. Because Madonna's attention, that's the thing. Madonna, it's funny you mentioned that, actually, because Laura and I were talking about a lot this weekend about the difference between Madonna and Britney and how comparing Britney to Madonna is like comparing Anna Nicole to Marilyn. Madonna is the undisputed queen of that. She's the undisputed queen of media manipulation of the late 20th century. I mean, no one even holds a candle. No one anywhere. There's no one who manipulated the media with the skill that Madonna did. And even now, we can make all the jokes we want about, she's out of touch, or she's silly, or the Kabbalah, or the whatever. But you know what? It doesn't matter. She doesn't have anything else to prove. Madonna did it as well as it could possibly be done.
She can still fill up the MGM. No other artist can do that.
That's the thing. She's an icon. Yeah,
mega rich,
you
too.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. If she's not quite as in step as she used to be, like I said, it doesn't matter. She's like the Rolling Stones. They have nothing to prove. She did it as well as it could be done. And the thing about Madonna is all of her manipulation was, as corny a word as this is, as women's studies a word as this is, all of Madonna's depictions of herself, they were all empowering. Even when she was dressed up like a bondage slave girl, it was all about Madonna being a powerful figure. Even when she was wearing a latex suit, rolling around on that Gap set or whatever for that Human Nature video. Everything she did made her look like a strong, powerful, which is why she was so hot.
Well, did you not think she lost it when she did that sex book?
No,
and
totally,
then she also did the video where she was with all of her dancers?
No, not at all. Because you look at that sex book and Madonna, you read that, which I... buy it. I'm not ashamed of it. I didn't buy it, but I've read it. You look at that. You know, you still try to scrub the image of Vanilla Ice out of your head, but you read that sex book, and in every page of that, Madonna is in control. She's in control. She's calling the shots, and she is a sexually confident woman who is aggressive and forceful and powerful and in control of what is she's doing and what's being done to her. Britney is not the way. Britney looks like a basket case little girl.
Okay, but at the time when Madonna did the sex book, it looked like out of control slut. We couldn't believe it.
It didn't look like that.
It looked like art to me.
It may have looked like that to people in Iowa. It may have looked like slut, but I don't think it looked like out of control anything. I think people may have been, there are people, stripes of America, who were shocked or offended or didn't feel that it was appropriate. At no point has anybody ever said that Madonna was not in control of her image, ever. Madonna has never... At least not in that period of time. Madonna was never not in control of her image, ever.
Well, I guess the final thought here is I wonder if Britney's telling, or if someone is telling Britney to do what she's doing.
I think Britney's on a lot of drugs, and I think Britney has had too much fame and too many drugs and not enough sleep and not enough normal life for a long period of time, and that cracks you.
Perhaps Howard K. Stern can represent her.
Okay.
In the future.
Okay, quit trying to do the final thought. All right. Should we just take these calls?
Let's do it.
Okay, I'm going to take these. Now, there are four calls banked up here. I'm going to take these in no particular order. I want you to think that I'm picking anybody. Indeed, I'm just going to hit them. Just going to take them as they come up. Line one. Hello, sir.
Hello, Rick.
Hey, it's Mailman Chris. Hi there.
How are you?
I'm okay. What's up, brother?
Well, I wasn't going to call until, Scott, you tried to throw me under the bus there.
No, I wasn't throwing you under the bus. I just wanted to say that I wasn't the only guy drinking there, the only guy that was, you know...
Chrissy, fine. Mailman Chrissy,
fine. I think I had, like, four beers over 5 hours, so I think I was in pretty good control.
Chris seemed fine. You did not seem out of control or drunk at all. Sir.
Isn't the object to drink in these watering holes?
It is, but Chris,
and
you
cigarettes and whatnot.
Chris seemed very. You and the missus seemed very, very together and with it, and you didn't seem out of control at all.
No. And you know, there are many, many things I could try and introduce to the story here, because I was there the whole night before Rick and Sarah, before you guys got there. So I know the whole story. But
and nothing but the truth.
So hey, I was with you for a while there, Chris.
You were, and you're my buddy, so I'm gonna throw one thing out because it was the best part of the evening. Is the reason Scotty went to Mary. Do you remember the reason why you went to Mary's?
Oh,
Scotty?
Yes,
I literally screamed.
I thought there was a club right there in Dante's, but I really was thinking of when we saw Appetite for Destruction. I was thinking of that facility.
You thought there was a strip club upstairs in Dante's?
Yeah, because
there is no upstairs.
There's no upstairs.
I know.
Well, there's an exotic VIP area.
At Dante's, no, there's an exotic dancer that lives above Dante's.
Yeah, but there's no strip club.
Right. I was confusing Dante's with the place where Appetite for Destruction played. I forget the name of that place.
Outlaws.
Yeah, Outlaws. Okay. They have one upstairs.
Yes, and Outlaws, and I mentioned Outlaws.
And I said, no.
And
so when you found there was...
I dragged him outside and pointed at the roof and said, Scotty, do you see the roof? There is no upstairs.
And then his, screw that, I'm going to Mary's.
Well, he had help coming up with that decision. There was some people making suggestions.
Go to Mary's. Okay.
But we won't talk about that because it hasn't been brought up yet, so I don't know if it's supposed to be brought up.
That's no big deal. Anyway, thanks for the call, Chris.
You're not talking about... we're on a delay, right?
Okay. Well, makes me nervous when people say that. Yes, we're on a delay. Why?
We're not, no, not swearing. We're not going to talk about the personal slave.
Personal slave?
Personal slave.
Oh, no, that's an inside joke that listeners wouldn't understand.
That sounds so natural, Scotty.
Fine.
He didn't refer to this person as his personal slave. It was actually more, this person is my hoe for everything but sex.
Holy God.
I remember saying that.
Do you want me to bleep that?
No, that's okay. I don't remember saying that. And that person I introduced to my brother-in-law, and it's a joke. And it's an inside
joke.
You
introduced someone as your hoe.
As your hoe for everything but sex?
Of course, and Boba Fett's best line was, butt sex.
Okay, butt sex. Yeah, thank you.
Anyway, thanks
thank
for the
you,
call,
sir.
Chris. We love it. Thanks.
There you go.
No problem, buddy. Talk to you later.
There you go. That's Mailman Chris.
All right.
I'm going to read this email, Scotty. Never, and then we'll take more calls. Rick, Scotty J is the Britney of the show. Self-destructive, acting crazy, out of control. And when those surrounding him try to shield him from his bad choices, i.e. taking non-screened calls about a night in which he did things he doesn't want to talk about, he says he doesn't care. Like with Britney, we need to save Scotty J from himself. Help us help you, Scotty J.
Sure.
Please don't check into rehab for a day, shave your legs in the break room sink, and then shave off your hair. Or maybe do that. It would amuse me. Dance, monkey, dance. All right.
I want to see Scotty walk around in the cheap blonde wig.
Should we take another call, Scotty?
You know, why not?
Okay. All right.
Really. Here's the bottom line to that night. I got drunk. Big deal. I didn't do anything that's right. Not that big of a deal, but go ahead.
This is Trixie.
Hi.
Hi, Trixie.
Hey, I was a lot of places Friday night, including Dante's and, ironically, including Mary's, and I have to corroborate what Scotty said. He didn't do anything at all inappropriate. I thought he was a perfect gentleman.
Sweet, I have a supporter.
And so this
The time I saw him at Mary's was really brief. Like, he had a couple of drinks, then maybe gave somebody a couple of dollars, and then he went back, because, he had to get back, his wife was going to be there.
So gave somebody a couple of dollars, so like a homeless person?
I was outside? Going back because the storm show was going to start around 10:30.
So you saw him just out, you happened to be there, you saw him out and about at Mary's?
Yeah, I happened to be there.
And so you witnessed him, just taking in a dance or two and then leaving and going back to Dante's?
Yeah.
All right.
Exactly. It was exactly as he said.
Did you, you didn't happen to see, what was the term, Sarah?
Hmm?
What was the term?
The special hoe?
Oh, you didn't happen to see whoever this...
You didn't see that special hoe,
this hoe was.
I never said that.
I think I saw a waitress bringing him some drinks, and the waitress was smiling when she walked away, so he probably tipped pretty well. But I can't say I saw anything special.
Scotty, are you a good tipper?
I would say yes.
All right.
I think he was a very good tipper. They looked very, very pleased. And one of the waitress actually the waitress's husband was really, really pleased because the waitress brought the husband breakfast and dinner the next day on the tips from Scotty.
How nice is that?
Well, where was the person?
Well, thank you, Trixie.
What was that?
Thanks for the call, Trixie.
Scotty, how much would you say you tipped that night?
About $40, maybe more.
How much did you see him tipping, Trixie?
Here's the deal: I have a special waitress friend. Or I can pay the waitress at Dante's, right?
I don't understand.
Either way, either one's going to get $2-3 per drink to get me a drink. So I don't really care.
You have a special waitress friend.
Right.
What does that mean?
This means that there's a listener out there that
everything but sex.
That's right.
Or anything naked.
But sex. I hate the way that last piece goes together.
What, everything but sex?
Yes.
Is that a store?
And anything really but touching of any kind.
A store on Hawthorne.
Anyways, Trixie.
Everything
thanks
lamps.
Thanks for the call, Trixie. We're going to move on.
Hey, Sarah?
Yes, Trixie.
I would like to say that Scotty's brother-in-law also appeared to be a very good tipper.
Oh, I see. Now, this wasn't the one with the assless chaps.
It runs in the family.
Scotty... just to clarify.
I would guess. I mean, this is just a ballpark. If you count the drinks that were purchased and other admissions and things like that, I would guess it's around $100.
Holy God.
Over a few hours.
Scotty, would you say that $100 left your pocket over the course of a couple hours?
Probably. That to me is like a hand of blackjack, Rick.
thanks. Of that $100, how many of those dollars would you say went to your, quote, special waitress friend?
For me personally, probably 40, 45. That's my guess.
Trixie, do you believe that is an accurate assessment of how much he tipped this special waitress, non-sexual friend of his?
Me personally.
Yes, I would say, including drinks and things and other stuff that was purchased. I'd say that's about 50. Yeah, 55.
All right, excellent. All right, thank you, Trixie. God bless you for being...
Thanks for paying such good attention to Scotty J's drinking habits, Trixie.
Right, and, when he was outside and was being kind of upset that he wasn't being let back in, you know, I saw this waitress also help him over and, you know, he get something to eat so he could balance out the alcohol. And, of course, he also bought her something to eat also. And then there was
what a nice guy that Scotty J is.
Right. And there was this homeless man talking to him while he ate.
They always
up
do.
Against the wall so he didn't fall down. And when he went to leave, the homeless guy said, "Hey, man, can you help anybody out?" And I, his special waitress said, "Scotty, give the man some money." And Scotty opened his wallet and gave the man $5.
Well, that was awfully nice of the waitress.
He was a humanitarian. Yeah, and she gave up $5 that could have been in her pocket to help a homeless man.
I'd say that waitress is a good person, Scotty, and you were lucky to have that waitress around.
Personal
hoe. I never said
for everything but sex.
Scotty Jane will be handing out
everything but sex. $1.
All right.
Everything but touching. Let's include that.
Okay, so no touching and...
No touching!
And no touching, no looking, no talking, nothing.
There was looking and there was commenting on the looking. However, there was no touching.
I think I heard the commenting, Miss Trixie. From Scotty. That was the one thing...
I always make comments.
No, he was go ahead. Okay. So he was having a random conversation, and I just remember there was some amply endowed woman standing outside, and Scotty was talking to me, and all of a sudden he just turns and yells, "Man, you got really nice blank."
Scotty.
And then turns back over and starts talking to me again.
Scotty, did you
witness that?
Did you announce publicly, Scotty, that the waitress had very nice bosoms?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
She thanked him.
I always do that.
All right. Well, I'm sure...
I told you this whole thing for the listeners is probably really ridiculous because it's all inside.
Not anymore.
It's behind the wizard's curtain.
Okay.
Yes, and he was a perfect gentleman, I have to say.
By far.
Everything I observed casually as an observer.
Of course, as an observer.
On the outside.
All right, Trixie, thank you so much for your stunning and stellar memory. It is only through your recollections that we're able to piece this mystery night together.
Hey, I was 100% sober.
Thank you, Trixie.
I had to keep track of the money.
God. God bless you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, there you go. There you go, Scotty. There's a
Trixie. That's great.
Fantastic.
All right, that's super.
Do we have anybody else?
No.
We got the full bank of calls. Well, we got a new news with Tim.
And
Scotty, you can stay here. Let's start
Dennis
the break.
Should be on his way, too.
Can we, Dennis can wait till
tomorrow. Should we do our last break?
Yeah, let's do our last break here. We'll come back. Tim will do news, and then we'll take more calls with you, Scotty. Tim, does that work for you?
Oh, yes.
Fantastic.
Most assuredly so.
Everything but sex. Okay. Can't stop that. 503-733-2970. Back after this. We now enter the saddest part of the broadcasting day, the final segment of the Rick Emerson Show. Show number three, it's Lycus, Don and Mike at 7. We'll be back tomorrow, of course, as is our want. We'll return to the... Scotty's just staring sadly into his energy drink. We'll return to the twisted saga of Scotty J and Friday Night Storm Show here in just a few. In the meantime, ladies and gentlemen, please make way for your personal savior.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
A shot was fired this morning in Hillsboro, briefly stopping the night train. This happened in the 1100 block of Main Street. The suspect called police. He told investigators he fired a warning shot into the air to try to break up a fight. Apparently, the fight was about the ownership of a can of gasoline and a baby carriage. Then a man in Florida is accused of dangling a 10-year-old mentally disabled boy upside down over a hotel balcony over the boy's scooter. Frederick Harris became annoyed with the boy on the scooter outside his motel room. A witness said he grabbed the boy by the neck and had his right leg over the balcony and threatening to kill him. The boy's mother, who wishes to remain anonymous, says he was going to throw him over the balcony and was going to kill him. I had my son run downstairs and catch him in case he did drop them. Well, the man was stopped, and apparently he's deranged, and he suffers from schizophrenia. Forgot to take his medication.
Good times.
A man said he broke into an apartment with a cavalry sword because he thought a woman was being raped, but the sound actually was from a pornographic movie. Well, the man went upstairs, pounded on the door, kicked it down, and screamed, "Where is she? Where is she?" Well, apparently the police came and the man who lived there played back the photographic part that the man with the sword heard.
So what was happening there was everything but sex?
Yes.
Okay. Mm.
Are you sure it wasn't everything but sex?
No, it was everything but sex.
Oh, everything but sex.
Except sex?
No. Well, that's, yes, that's what I mean.
What kind of... I'm wondering what kind of a sword this guy came busting in.
It was a cavalry sword.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. A family heirloom.
So there was no sex going on.
That's it for me. Now back to Scotty J.
Thank you. Thank you, Tim. Fantastic. Tim Riley, the greatest newsman
so,
ever.
Too.
Thank you, sir. God bless you, Tim Riley.
All right. All right. So, Scotty.
Yes, Rick.
Let me ask you this. So, why you have this the person you call the hoe, who we will refer to as your special waitress friend. Now, she's not a real waitress. She's, what is this, is a listener?
I don't recall calling her that.
You would admit to calling her a hoe.
Your hoe.
For everything but sex.
Like a...
Everything but sex.
Waitress.
Okay, but she's not a real waitress. She's sort of an amateur waitress.
So her job isn't a waitress. She was just,
in other words, she's a waitress only for you.
P1 waitress.
Because you pay her. So my question is,
kind of like Howard Stern and Anna.
Okay, that's probably the wrong...
well, there's
no
pain.
I'm giving you right now a chance to back out
okay,
of that statement.
Okay, forget that one.
Okay. So my question is, so then for a fee, she just brought you drinks throughout the night?
Just a nominal fee.
Okay. On like a $5 drink, how much were you tipping?
Well, if normally it'd be like $2-3.
Okay. So over the course of a night, your total tips to this amateur, this unofficial waitress?
$40-50 on average.
Okay. That's the total for the night to her?
From me.
Was she helping other folks as well?
Yeah, I was introducing her at right. this P1
waitress. How did you introduce her?
Like a P1 waitress.
How did this first start? So you're there.
This happened.
This woman is there.
This started at Lycus, actually. At the Lycus.
That was in November.
Right.
So this is an ongoing...
That's when I first found out that, A, I could pay, you know, the waitresses at the boiler room, or I could pay this P1 waitress. And it was kind of neat having the P1 waitress, because anytime I say, okay, I need a drink right now, it was literally, I get a drink right now.
Yes. Okay. So this is an ongoing waitress-waited relationship.
I guess so.
Okay. Now, same thing at Lycus. This waitress accompanied you wherever you were drinking?
Pretty much.
And then just fetched your stuff? Okay. So, now, did she did this service throughout the night on Friday?
Yes.
So she would get... So she got things for Mrs. J as well?
Everything but sex.
Yes. So she got things for Mrs. J as well?
Well, when Mrs. J got there, I was outside and couldn't get back in anymore, so the night was pretty much wrapping up. Or I would have introduced her, yes. Absolutely.
So,
are you sure?
In fact, I even told Mrs. J about her. I said, it's great having a personal assistant, basically.
Did you introduce her to Mrs. J?
Personal assistant.
Did you introduce her to Mrs. J as your hoe?
No, I don't think I ever introduced her as my hoe.
I think you admitted to doing that earlier, actually.
You admitted to doing that about half an hour ago.
I may have said it.
And to leering openly, about her breasts.
This is true.
So you think Mrs. J would have been there? Okay. Let's, hello, Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, what's going on, Rick?
Hi, what's up?
Chris.
Hey, Chris, how are you?
Doing good. How are you doing, Scotty?
Never been better.
A little hotter on the collar?
Yeah. The heat is on.
Yeah, I remember your special waitress from the Lycus show. It was, I don't know how you guys started that, but yeah. And then she'd always buy you drinks.
Yeah, see, it's not a bad thing.
No,
it's a great
not
thing.
A bad thing.
How many men can walk around and say, hey, I have a special waitress out there?
Yeah, but you weren't saying, you didn't introduce her to people as your special waitress. I think Mailman Chris had it pretty much along, you know, the right lines when you were introducing her to people as your hoe for everything, you know.
Now, was this at the Lycus party, or was this on Friday?
No, this was on Friday, before he had actually started to stumble and mumble. This was towards the very beginning, once we had just gotten in. You know, he introduced her to his brother-in-law, and yeah, that's where the whole everything, you know, butt sex came out, and I just about, you know, lost my drink, because it was just the greatest thing.
Yeah. So he said, this is so-and-so, and she is my personal hoe.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so, yeah,
Yeah, well, she knows I'm joking. Jokingly that I say that.
You say it with love.
Yes, exactly.
Term of affection.
You love your home.
You love your home. Yeah. All right.
So yeah, looking for. He was very determined to find the upstairs at Dante's.
I swear it was. I swear it was like the.
Now let me ask you this. And I have a question. So now this waitress started serving you when you were first at Dante's.
No.
I don't remember. I remember him introducing her to his brother-in-law, and I was like,
"Well, when in the evening did the waitress, your private special ho waitress, start serving you?
Probably after 9 sometime.
So before
already had one or two.
So
drinks.
Before you went to Mary's.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
So now who served you when you went to Mary's?
I went and got my own drink
at Mary's.
Yes.
Okay. All right, there you go. All right, thank you, sir.
Yeah, hey, Scotty, remember when you were standing in line and you wanted to find the restroom and you
oh, you just had to say this, huh?
Oh, yeah, and you did climb those stairs.
The stairs don't... Okay.
They go to nowhere.
They don't go anywhere. Yeah.
Well, right. Are you talking about the stairs on the right side?
Uh-huh.
It's like the Winchester Mystery House.
Oh, they go somewhere. You don't know where they
go? They go somewhere, yeah.
Well, they don't lead to a bathroom, certainly.
Oh, no.
He didn't know that.
I found out.
Where do they go?
You know. You don't
the stairs
know?
On the right side of Dante's?
Let me put it this way, Rick.
There's an apartment up there. Where a woman that? Performs
burlesque
show. You pay a certain amount of money, and she does a little dance for you, and
excellent.
Does what
the higher you go up the stairs, the redder the lights get.
Yeah, we were a trigger short on the camera that Mailman Chris had, or else we would have gotten a picture of Scotty coming down those stairs.
Fantastic. Well, there's always next time.
Oh, yeah.
All right, thank you.
Uh-huh.
All right, there you go. Fantastic. All right. So when you went to Mary's, the waitress stayed behind?
Yeah.
Okay. Rick Emerson Show, who's this?
Say hello.
All right. Rick Emerson Show, hello. Okay. And Rick Emerson Show, hello.
Hey, Rick. Hey, everybody.
Hey.
How's it going?
Pretty good, man. I just wanted to call and say, dude, best Scotty J segment ever.
Well, I suppose that depends on who you ask. Do you have any questions for Scotty while you're here, sir?
Well, no, I just want to give him a big up. I mean, I know how hard it is to recount a drunken evening and
what you say.
What's that?
And what you say during that evening.
Exactly, and it can be somewhat embarrassing, so, you know, kudos to you.
Well, fortunately, there are lots of people to help him reconstruct that evening.
Of course, and that's why, you know, we have the gatherings that we do. And you know, and Sarah will back this up. I mean, sometimes there's nothing harder than, like, you know, admitting or realizing that, like, you got a little twisted one night and might have done some stupid things, and I just wanted to give Scotty kudos, man. This is definitely one of the most entertaining segments that I've heard yet. So.
Well, that's what we do, sir. He is worth his weight in gold. And to be fair, we gave him the option of not discussing this, and he chose to discuss it.
I want to put it behind me.
Yes.
Well, so I can do it again later.
As we all do when we get a little messed up and make a fool of ourselves, but still have a good time, and then, you know, the next day people are like, "Do you remember this?" And you're like, "No, oh crap." So right on, man.
Remember when you peed in your luggage?
Thanks, man.
Thank you, sir. All right, there you go. Yeah. He wanted to put everything but sex behind him. I'm just trying to work that in wherever I can. Hello, Rick Emerson Show. Who's this?
Well, hi. Oh, this is Trixie. I just wanted to let you know I heard from Scott, you know, paying to bring some. Yeah, that works. Waitress, ho, it's all fine with her.
All right.
Okay, thank you.
Excellent.
We'll pass it.
Yes, Scotty punches the music. Excellent. Thank you, Trixie.
You're welcome.
All right. God bless you. There you go. Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hello, this is Chris with the end of show recap.
Oh, okay. I'm going to put you back in the box. Hold on for just a few.
Cool.
All right, there you go. Let me see. How I got to clear some of these out here. Hold on. All right. Rick Emerson Show. Who's this? Okay.
Hello?
Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
This is your mother.
Yeah, seriously. No, at some point we'll get that fixed. All right, Scotty. Sarah, I can't see the actual clock. What time is it?
Got about 7 minutes.
So it's like 58. All right.
Yeah.
Scotty, any final thoughts or anything you'd like to wrap up?
Just good to be alive and can't wait till the next show.
How did you get home?
Mrs. J.
All right. What did Mrs. J think of the Rockstar Supernova concert?
She actually...
Oh, that guy never called back.
No, he never did. I think he sent me a wrap up, but I didn't.
If you want to know her honest opinion, she thought Delana and Magni were awesome and that she really didn't care too much for Lucas.
Excellent.
And that Tommy Lee was just the star of the show.
Oh, well, we should talk real quickly about, because all of the Rockstar Supernova folks, I think, except for Lucas, were at Dante's. And Toby was there. Toby tripped and fell into my wife at one point.
See, I wasn't the only guy.
Yes, you and Toby have a lot in common. Toby tripped and fell into my wife, and we have a friend of ours who was there, and I think Toby was grabbing her friend's ass at one point, and apparently smelled pretty badly.
So Toby was drinking, probably?
Was,
or
what?
Was Toby drinking or something?
Maybe he's got poor equilibrium. Maybe he's got poor inner ear control. I don't know.
That's my problem.
We heard from a couple people that he smells really foul, or at least did that night.
Maybe he was drinking or something.
I'm not placing it. Not assigning blame, Scotty. I'm just saying that's what we heard from a couple people, that he had a strong odor in it. And I should know by the way, for the record, that Sarah and I were correct, because on Friday we were speculating on the air that Delana was enough of an attention whore that she would find a way to get on stage.
But yep,
we predicted it. We told, and again, God love her. Storm seems to like her, and you know, whatever is, you know, good enough for Storm, good enough for us, I guess. We were talking about it Friday. We're like, you know damn well that she'll find an opportunity, a reason, an excuse to get up on stage, and she did.
Delana?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, you don't remember that?
Nah, I don't remember. I was outside.
So how many, Rick?
That upsets me.
Rick, don't you think it's time to call Mrs. J on the phone and ask her some of these hard-hitting questions?
She moved.
Uh-huh. What would your wife say if we were to, does she remember the evening's events the same way you do?
She knows I wear the pants.
Scotty, don't do that. Because
the guys who wear the pants don't actually say, I'm the one who wears the pants.
Seriously, Scotty, because
you got my code.
If you talk like that, you're just begging for it. That's the thing. You can't act that way, because then you're just asking for it. Was it a pillow wall night?
It was a night that not to remember. Or that I couldn't remember.
Not a pillow wall, a full-on pillow fortress.
A full-on Great Wall of China.
How many pillows do you have in your bed that makes the pillow wall? Should we tell people what the pillow wall is?
No, I think there's like six pillows, and a couple of them are really big.
Yeah. All right. Rick Emerson shows this.
Well, hello, this is Kara. I was at Dante's, and I need to clear up the rumor about Toby. He smelled amazing.
He smelled like lilacs?
I heard that he smelled bad. I saw him at the bar. I went up to him. I said, can I please smell you? And he smelled amazing. And
you asked if you could smell him, Karen?
Pardon me, can I?
I did. I asked him, and then I buried my face in his neck, and he smelled really good.
Can I inhale your manly scent?
I got a picture with him later, and then there is the hottest man on earth from Panic Channel. His name is Steve something. Oh, boy. He smells good, too.
You know, Toby's shorter than I thought he would be. He was shorter, and then Magny's way taller. Magny's like, he's like 100 feet tall. That guy's huge.
Yeah, he's so weird, and Delana smelled kind of funky, but Toby Rand smelled delicious.
Delana's whole thing, you know what she smells like? She smells
incense.
Well, yeah, it's like a flowery. That's what it is. Delana smells like one of those hippie stores in Hawthorne.
Yeah, I tell you, there was some scent of incense down in the back room at Dante's.
Yeah,
what she smelled like.
Yeah, I could totally sense that. Excellent. All right, so clarification on the Toby scent. Thank you.
Toby smells delicious.
smells of chocolate and lust. Excellent. There you go. All right, let's see. Where's my
postman is the person in your neighborhood.
Let's see. Is this Mailman Chris?
It is.
Hello there.
Hello.
What's up, brother? So, okay, I don't even know where we are today. I don't even know what I've gotten to, what I've not gotten to.
It was
to.
A good day back because you didn't tease too much. Lisa, Jim, Ed, Mr. Skin, and the Storm Show recap. You didn't get a top five, but you kind of prefaced that you might get it.
So. No.
And with the revelations about Scotty, I think we're just going to call it a wash today.
Seriously, we gave him every opportunity to opt out of this.
Scotty, he's still in the room?
No. He ran.
I was just kind of wondering if, you know, those steps on the side of Dante's, I was wondering if there was 12 steps there.
By the time I got there, really, he was like, I think, the drunkest I've ever seen him. And that is a bold statement, because that's a man who can consume a lot of alcohol.
We saw him after Lycus.
Yeah, and he was hosed after Lycus.
Yeah, I poked fun, but Scotty was, you know, he was in great spirits. He was a fun guy to be around. He was great to watch. And he didn't do anything, you know, that was...
Yeah,
that was,
It, I should cut him a little slack, too. It didn't help that my wife was purposely calling him Kyle all night. Kyle, who was our former intern on the Rick Emerson Show, so she was doing, and I caught her doing it, and she was like, "Hey, Kyle. Kyle, can you?" And I finally had to pull her aside and ask her not to, because that's just mean. So now he is one of a kind. That darn Scotty J.
He is a sweet spirit.
He really is.
And you said Toby was grabbing some rear ends.
Well, that's what I heard.
Was there anyone else that was grabbing rear ends on Friday night? Sarah?
Was I?
What?
No. Somebody maybe grabbing your rear end.
Did you?
No, not me.
Okay, no fair. What's going on?
I'm not positive.
You call, come on. You can't do this with like 2 minutes left in the show.
He's pleased to be telling me he was grabbing my rear end that I do not remember.
Oh, he's going to kill me.
Was this the beginning of everything but sex?
He's going to kill me. Let's just say you heard from him within the last 5 minutes.
Was it Chris Boba Fett? Did he cop
Boba
a feel?
Grabbed my ass?
He totally
was giving you a hug.
And did he cop
and
a feel?
Did he put a hand down?
I guess he said it was just natural. The hand went down there, and then he went, whoa, and realized
it was just natural.
It was just natural. The hand wanted to do it, baby. The hand wants what hand wants.
Hey, Chris is a smooth beat lover man.
He's a very nice boy, but I wouldn't think he'd be an ass grabber.
Well, apparently not.
People surprise you.
Apparently not enough of one that you even remember it. So, although you didn't remember to introduce me to your boyfriend either. So.
I don't have a boyfriend.
Okay. The guy you were...
I have a person I'm seeing.
Maybe you didn't introduce me because you were too busy kissing.
Okay. You know what? We should have just left that at the beginning of the show.
You know that it's true.
We don't need to talk about it.
Everybody knows you kissed.
Right. Why do you have to keep bringing that up?
I'm not because... Are you ashamed? It was on the sidewalk. Everybody, people in passing cars saw it.
I'm turning off my microphone now.
All right.
I'm getting a text from Chris, I think.
Thank you, sir. We'll talk tomorrow. Lots of fun. Bye-bye. Okay.
You're a terrible person.
I'm not.
We're supposed to be ganging up on Scotty J, not on me.
We ganged up on Scotty J for like an hour. He's got to go get stitches now. I'm just saying, it felt like you were very pointedly not introducing him to me.
No, I know, and you think it's a thing, and it wasn't.
It's almost like you were afraid of my judgment on him.
I am not afraid of your judgment. I think you'd like him.
Okay.
Okay.
Guess that has to remain theoretical. like us next, Donna Mike at 7, the Rick Emerson Show, produced today and every day by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon's for AM 970, Solid State Radio, the newsroom, Tim Riley, Scotty J is our PA, Dave Zinn's the gatekeeper. Like us next, see y'all tomorrow. Bye, kids.